Emotional bites are like a nice warm cup of tea for your soul. All right, let's dive deep today. We're going to be tackling personal values. And whether you've spent years, you know, thinking about this kind of stuff or you're just starting to explore what makes you tick, I think you're going to find this fascinating. We're unpacking Shalom Schwartz's theory of basic human values. It gives us like a framework, I guess you could say, for understanding the motivations that shape who we are and the choices that we make in life.
And what's really interesting about Schwartz's theory is that it suggests that these values are universal. You know, they resonate with all of us, regardless of where we come from or what we've experienced. Like, we all have this shared, you know, human operating system. But the settings are configured a bit differently for each of us. First, let's start with the basics. What exactly are personal values?
Yeah, let's get a clear definition on the table.
Across many of the sources you sent over, values are consistently described as broad guiding principles that shape our choices and actions, not just in, you know, specific situations, but across our entire lives.
Okay.
They're desirable end states.
Right.
We find important and worthy.
So they're kind of like a compass pointing us in the direction we want to go.
Exactly. But it's not just one fixed point, right?
Right.
They're organized in a hierarchy.
Okay.
Meaning some values matter more to us than others. So those top tier values are the ones that really drive our decisions.
Gotcha.
It's one of the most influential theories in the field of values.
Mm-hmm.
It identifies 10 basic values that are pretty universal across culture.
So Schwartz identified 10 basic values. Each one represents a different motivational goal. Like, think of them as like the underlying reasons behind the things that we strive for in life. And they are power, achievement, hedonism, stimulation, self-direction, universalism, benevolence, tradition, conformity, and security. Wow, that's quite a mouthful. I remember some of the terms like self-direction and hedonism, but there were a couple that sounded pretty academic.
For sure. Let's make it relatable. Self-direction. Think of it as wanting to be independent, making your own choices, blazing your own trail.
Right. Well, someone who values stimulation, they're all about new experiences, challenges. They love the excitement, the novelty.
Then there's hedonism, which is pretty much enjoying life, seeking pleasure, all the good stuff. And achievement. That one's straightforward. Striving for success, personal accomplishment.
Power. Another one that's easy to get. Wanting influence, control over others or situations. But then we get into values that are more about stability and order, like security.
Which takes us to conformity, fitting in with social norms, expectations, all that. And then tradition, valuing the old ways of doing things, customs.
We've also got benevolence, emphasizing caring for those close to you, putting their needs first.
And lastly, universalism, kind of like benevolence, but bigger. It includes all people, even nature. It's about social justice, a world where everyone can thrive.
Wow, that's a huge range.
Mm.
Seems like everyone's values would be like a unique mix of all these.
Exactly. And the interesting part, Schwartz says these values, they're not just floating around by themselves. They're always interacting, sometimes working together, sometimes, well, causing some friction.
Like gears in a machine, right? They can mesh smoothly or grind against each other.
Exactly. Imagine someone who values both achievement and security. They might struggle with taking risks to reach their goals because they also crave stability. Or someone who's all about self-direction, but feels trapped by society's expectations of conformity. Those are the moments when your values really get put to the test.
Like those classic moral dilemmas, right? Choosing between two right things that pull you in opposite directions.
And those choices, those moments of tension, they reveal a lot about us, what truly drives us. They force us to prioritize, really wrestle with what matters most. It highlights the complexity of human motivation. And what's even more fascinating is that these values, they're deeply rooted in fundamental human needs that have evolved over time to ensure our survival and well-being. They're grouped into four higher order categories, kind of like broader themes. First, we have openness to change, which includes values like self-direction, stimulation, and hedonism.
So someone who scores high in this category might be like adventurous, curious, always up for trying new things.
Exactly, spot on.
Okay.
Then there's self-enhancement, which includes values like achievement, power, and interestingly enough, hedonism pops up here again.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe it depends on the type of pleasure that someone seeks.
Right.
Right. Like, is it about personal enjoyment or is it more about achieving status and recognition.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The specific ways that these values play out can definitely differ from person to person.
Okay, cool. What are the other two categories?
So we have conservation,
okay,
which includes values like security, conformity, and tradition.
So someone who might be high in conservation would prioritize like stability,
yeah,
order, and following established rules.
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, there's self-transcendence.
Self-transcendence, that sounds pretty deep.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean?
This one is about going beyond your own individual needs and focusing on the well-being of others.
Okay.
And the greater good. Now, here's where the Schwartz theory gets visually interesting.
Oh.
They represent these values in a circular structure.
Okay. I'm intrigued. How did that work?
Values that are close together on the circle are compatible.
Okay.
Meaning they often go hand in hand. But values that are opposite each other, those are more likely to be in conflict, meaning a person might struggle to prioritize both at the same time.
So someone who's driven by achievement, which falls under self-enhancement,
right,
might clash with someone who prioritizes universalism, which is under self-transcendence.
That's a very possible scenario, yeah. A highly ambitious person who's focused on, you know, personal success might find it hard to fully embrace the needs of everyone equally.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This is this circular model is actually pretty helpful for understanding how different values relate.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. Can you give us an example of how one of these values like is linked to a basic human need?
Sure. Let's take security, for instance. You know, it's all about feeling safe and stable, which stems from our very primal need for protection and predictability. You know, think about it. Early humans who weren't motivated by security, who didn't seek shelter or avoid danger, well, they probably didn't last very long.
Makes sense, yeah. So security is like the value version of our inner cave dweller, always looking for a safe haven. But what about a value like hedonism? That one doesn't seem quite as essential for survival, I guess.
You're right. Hedonism isn't about survival in the literal sense. You know, it's about seeking pleasure and enjoyment. And that's connected to our need for positive experiences. It's what drives us to savor a delicious meal, enjoy the company of loved ones, or simply relax and recharge.
So we've got security for survival and hedonism for enjoyment. What about something like achievement? Where does that fit in?
Achievement is all about striving for success, competence, and mastery. And that's driven by our need to feel capable and effective in the world. You know, think about the satisfaction you feel when you accomplish a difficult task or master a new skill. That's achievement playing out in your life.
So each of these values, like, taps into a different need. But you mentioned earlier that these values can sometimes clash, right? What does that look like in practice?
It certainly does. Imagine someone who deeply values both security and stimulation. They crave stability and predictability, but also have this yearning for new experiences and adventure. That's a classic example of values in conflict. The need for security might make them hesitant to take risks or step outside their comfort zone, while the need for stimulation might leave them feeling restless and unfulfilled if they play it too safe.
Well, that's interesting. It's like having two inner voices like pulling you in opposite directions.
Yeah.
What kind of feelings do you think those clashes generate?
Well, it can be a real emotional roller coaster. On the one hand, you might experience anxiety, fear, or even guilt if you feel like you're betraying one of your core values. On the other hand, ignoring a value can lead to frustration, restlessness, or a sense of emptiness. When we act in line with our values, we often experience positive emotions, satisfaction, pride, purpose. When we go against them, we might feel guilt or a sense of dissonance.
So it's like our values have this emotional compass guiding our choices.
Right.
And, you know, some sources go as far as describing values as mini stories that reside in our unconscious minds.
It's a powerful image, right? These like hidden narratives shaping our perceptions, influencing how we navigate the world.
I'm really curious to hear more about this.
Well, think about it this way. Our values act as filters through which we interpret our experiences. So they influence what we pay attention to, how we make sense of events, and ultimately the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and what our lives mean.
Okay, so if someone like highly values achievement, they might be more likely to focus on their successes and accomplishments, creating a narrative of ambition and progress, right?
Exactly. Their internal story might be about overcoming challenges, setting goals, and constantly striving for greater heights. Their achievements become central to their identity, and they might even downplay or overlook experiences that don't fit into that narrative.
That's fascinating. So it's not just about like what happens to us, but it's about how our values shape the meaning that we give to those experiences. What about someone who prioritizes benevolence? How might their values influence their personal narrative?
Someone who values benevolence might construct a narrative around kindness, compassion, and helping others. Their story might be filled with acts of service, moments of connection, and the fulfillment they find in making a positive difference in the world. The words we use frequently, the topics we bring up, even the way we frame situations, it all reflects what we hold dear.
I mean, for example, someone who really deeply values fairness might use words like justice or equality a lot.
Exactly.
So their language becomes a window into their values.
Exactly. And it's not just about the positive experiences. Our values also shape how we cope with challenges and setbacks. So someone with strong security values might frame a difficult experience as a test of their resilience or an opportunity to strengthen their resolve.
So their narrative helps them find meaning, even in the midst of adversity. Like, their values provide a framework for understanding why things happen and how to move forward.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that these narratives aren't static. They evolve over time as we encounter new experiences, learn new things, and even as our values themselves shift and change.
That makes sense. Our stories are constantly being rewritten, and our values are like the guiding principles that shape the plot.
And these narratives have a powerful impact on our lives. They influence our choices, our relationships, and even our overall sense of well-being.
It's like having an internal script that we're constantly referring to, consciously or unconsciously, as we navigate the world.
Exactly. And the more aware we become of those scripts and the values that underlie them, the more agency we have in shaping our own stories.
So it's not about like trying to control every aspect of our lives, but it's more about understanding the forces that shape our perceptions and using that knowledge to make choices that are aligned with our values.
And that awareness can be incredibly empowering. It allows us to step back from our habitual patterns of thought and behavior and ask ourselves, is this story serving me? Does it reflect the values that are most important to me?
That's such a powerful question. It's like we're not just passively living out our lives, but we're actively co-creating them.
Precisely. And by becoming more conscious of our values and the narratives they create, we can start to write stories that are more authentic, more fulfilling, and more aligned with who we truly are.
I really like this whole idea of values shaping our narratives. It's really resonating with me. It's making me think about some of the stories I've been telling myself lately. Some empowering, some not so much.
It's a journey we're all on. And what's fascinating is that these narratives aren't just confined to our internal worlds. They also play a huge role in how we communicate and connect with others.
Oh, you're right. Our values influence the language we use, the topics we discuss, and even the way we express ourselves.
Absolutely.
Personal values are like the architects of our inner narratives. It's such a powerful idea.
It is. It really is. So as we wrap up today's deep dive, I really encourage you to take some time to reflect on your own values, the narratives that they've shaped, and how they influence the way that you connect with the world. And stay curious about the author inside each of us. We get to write our own stories, you know, choosing the words, shaping the plot, creating something that's both real and inspiring.